Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Welcome. It's Tuesday, and I'm so glad that you're with me today and joining us for this wonderful teaching that we're hearing from Derek Prince. If you're with us yesterday, you know that Derek Prince started a series on why bad things happen to God's people. And I got to tell you, this is one of the great themes of Christianity, and it really fires me up that we're considering it. I think I've said many times in our time together that one of the things I love about the Bible is how realistic it is. It gets down to the nitty-gritty. People suffering, people dying, people prospering, loving their kids and their wives and their hard attitudes, and it prepares you for the tough things of life. I don't want a flowery rose garden religion that only tells me sweet things if that's not reality. I want this a religion that teaches me reality. I want a relationship with Jesus that sets my face for what's coming in life. And that's what Derek's teaching us about. Now, where he began yesterday was in talking about the fact that many times our sufferings are mysteries, and yet there are there are those things that we do, those attitudes we have, those rebellions in our heart. And he brought this out of Genesis 3 yesterday, talking about Adam and Eve and their rebellion. And many times that attitude or those attitudes bring the suffering that we so endure in our lives. In fact, there's a proverb that says, a man's own folly ruins his life, and yet he rages against the Lord. And so both are true, that there's a mystery to our suffering and also that there are things we do to bring suffering upon us. Today, Derek is going to give us a solution to a problem he described yesterday. He started by telling us about the sin of independence, which, by the way, completely convicted me. And now he's going to talk to us about how to be free of that sin, how to repent of that sin, and how to walk in a greater humility and dependence on God. Let's listen.
I want to focus on this issue of laying down our independence. And I want to suggest to you that it's one of the central thrusts of God's dealing with every person he ever deals with, is to bring us out of our independence and back into a joyful dependence on God. Because after all, God is the only dependable factor in our lives. It's absurd that we'll trust anything else but not trust God. Now, there are two ways, there are more than two, but there are two main ways I want to point out to you that God uses to get us out of our independence. The first one is waiting. Kind of stillness descends when that word waiting is pronounced. Nobody enjoys waiting, least of all contemporary Americans. But nothing will come to you in your Christian walk sooner or later until you learn to wait, because God insists on it. I want to talk about just two people, two great men of God who had to wait. They're two of the patterns of Scripture. The one is Abraham and the other is Moses. And God had a destiny for both of them. He knew what they were going to do. He chose them. He set them apart. And part of God's, in fact, the very center of God's whole program for Abraham was that he was to have a special son by his wife Sarah. And this was promised him early on, when he was 75 years old, and he had to wait 25 years for that son. Why? Why couldn't God give it to him immediately? Because he had to bring Abraham to the place of total dependence on God. You know the story. After 12 years, he said, I've waited long enough. And his dear wife Sarah gave him some bad advice. He said, go on, have a concubine. I'll agree, my servant Hagar, which means a stone, I'll let you have a child by her. It's very interesting because Sarah gave him two pieces of advice. The first time she said, go on, have a child. The second one was, cast out the son you've had. When you get carnal advice, it contradicts itself. And what was the result? Ishmael. Now, I don't want to go into a lot of what could be controversial political issues, but I'd have to say, basically, one main problem of Isaac and his descendants for 4,000 years has been Ishmael and his descendants. So that's a warning against taking things into your own hand. Because if you do, what you'll produce will not be an Isaac, but an Ishmael. If I were to ask you, and I don't want to, but how many of you here have produced Ishmaels at some time in your life? A lot of you, if you were honest, would put your hands up. Why? You were not willing to wait. So Abraham had to learn to wait. What was the result of waiting? He came to the place where he was totally dependent on God. Had no alternatives, nothing. He'd exhausted every other possibility. And when he was at that place, God met him, and he had the son that God had promised. It's interesting, if you go on, God tested Abraham in a way that he wouldn't test all of us. Here's Abraham, he's got the son, and then God says, now offer him as a sacrifice. I mean, he tested Abraham in a way that he wouldn't be able to test most of us. So once again, Abraham was totally dependent on God. He was prepared to kill the son and depend on God to raise him up, as the scripture indicates. What was God aiming at? One thing, dependence. Total dependence on God. Now we'll take Moses. Moses had a very privileged upbringing. He was brought up in the court of Pharaoh. He was instructed in all the wisdom and the culture of the Egyptians, who were the leading cultural empire of the day. And then he realized that he was really a Jew, an Israelite, and his brethren were suffering. And he thought, I'm the one, I'll go out, deliver them, age 40. It ended up in a fiasco. He had to flee for his life. And he spent the next 40 years in a rather barren wilderness looking after a little flock of sheep belonging to his father-in-law. That's not a very exalting position, is it? Incidentally, have you ever looked after sheep? Some of you may have done. I did once for a little while. That takes patience too. I'll never knew that. So now, Moses has reached the age of 80, retirement age. His life has gone. He has nothing to show. All his education, all his ability, all his strength have produced nothing. And God says, now, Moses, we can begin. And for the next 40 years, Moses was, in my opinion, the most powerful human being that history has ever recorded. I mean, if you consider what he did, it is astonishing. And shall I tell you one reason? You want to be a man of power? I'll tell you one of the secrets. It's in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Now the man, Moses, was the meekest man on all the earth, or the humblest. Can you see that God cannot trust power to anybody except the humble? How do you achieve humility? Just spend 40 years in the desert with a flock of sheep. Somebody asked Bob Mumford once, why did Moses have to spend 40 years in the desert? And Bob answered, because God couldn't do it in 39. So God will keep you there till it's done. You can struggle, you can complain, you can pray, but God is too merciful to answer your prayers, because he's going to leave you till the process is complete.
You know, sometimes I wonder as we listen to these if you're suffering with me. Because if there are two things I'm no good at, it's waiting and serving. May the Lord give us repentance on both of these issues and set us to these very, very important dynamics of our lives. But pray for me and I'll pray for you. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Faith. Explore the mystery, promises, and powers of genuine faith as you read the insightful book, Faith to Live By. In it, Derek Prince answers your questions about faith and reveals how to pray effectively, understand spiritual gifts, and truly enjoy an abundant life. In this easy-to-read book, based solidly on the scriptures, you'll discover what God is saying to you. Order your copy of Faith to Live By now for only $8.95 when you call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Faith to Live By is a hope-filled resource for every Christian who wants to receive the promises of a faith-filled life. Order now. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Hope you've been with us the whole time thus far, all day yesterday and then thus far today, as Derek's been teaching us about why bad things happen to God's people. And in the segment that's coming up, he's going to talk to us about crying out for help. And given that he just taught us about how to wait and how to serve, we need to cry out for help. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us on this very important theme.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul speaks about his original contact with the Christians in Thessalonica and how other people reported the remarkable impact that he had. And in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 and 10, Paul says of these other people around, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you," that's the Thessalonians, "and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven." So what were the two things they had to do? To serve and to wait. You see? Now that's the Christian life. We're all, some of us, excited about serving. How many of us are excited about waiting? But the Christian life is not just serving. It's serving and waiting. Why? Well, one reason is because waiting deals with that independent spirit in you and brings you to the place of God. There's nothing I can do. I've come to the end. If you don't do it, it won't happen. And you know that God is waiting for many of you to come to that place. Let me read you a passage from Isaiah chapter 30, verses 18 and 19. "Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you." Please note that it's not only you who have to wait. God waits. Why does he wait? That he may be gracious. He's waiting for you to meet the conditions, for him to show you his grace. "And therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." All right, you want to be blessed? That's one way. Then it goes on in the next verse. "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you." What is God waiting for? The sound of your cry. He's waiting till you are desperate, until you come to the place where nothing will suffice but God. See, a lot of us are afraid of desperation. I think it's very typical of the British character. We like to have things so we don't get on too intense an emotional plane. But there's a place where you can meet with God only if you cry. That Hebrew word to cry, it means to cry out for help. I think the modern translations translated that way. But God is waiting to bring you to a place where you'll cry out for help. Some of you can look back in your life and remember the point when you became desperate and God moved. God is not a luxury. God is essential. And as long as anything else may be more important to us than God moving, he probably won't move. Again, God dealt with people all through the Bible to bring them to the place of desperation. One of the most obvious examples is Israel being delivered out of Egypt. So they march out, they've had a wonderful Passover, they've all been healed, become strong, able to march. They march out in ranks, they get to the Red Sea, they look over their shoulders, and there are the whole Egyptian army pursuing them. I've heard people use the phrase being between a rock and a hard place. If anybody was ever between a rock and a hard place, it was Israel, with the Red Sea in front and the Egyptian army behind. And what did they do? It says, you can find it if you want it, Exodus 14, verse 10, they cried out to the Lord. And there are things that God will not do in your life till you cry out. And I don't mean just say a prayer. I mean get desperate. He's waiting. There's not one person here, myself included, who really desires to be totally dependent on God. It's contrary to our own carnal nature, what was born into us from Adam and Eve. But it's the one thing that God is looking for, is to be totally dependent on God, to have no other answer, no other future, no other plan but God. And that's not arbitrary. It's his way of dealing with the problem of your fleshly nature, which is this desire to be independent of God. And God cannot fully work out his plan in the life of any one of us until that issue has been resolved. Now, I want to tell you just a little incident. Some of you have heard it before. but it's a very good illustration. So here's a Trappist monk. He's not allowed to speak, but he's let out and he's allowed to speak. And he shares what I'm going to share with you. But he only shares it to a group of Catholic nuns. How would most of us ever get to know what Catholic nuns had heard? But this Catholic nun comes and talks to my wife and shares it. And she happens to be the wife of a preacher. And she shares it with me, and I share it, and it's going to get around the world. You see, God has a way of getting what he wants. I mean, to me, it's I bow in worship when I see God. He's so smart, if I can use the word. I mean, let me tell you, nobody ever fools God. Don't even try, because it doesn't work. So this is what he said, and he must have been dealing with the theme that I'm dealing with, but we don't know exactly what it was. But he said, pray to desire three things: not to be esteemed, not to be secure, and not to be in control. Well, when I hear those, I shudder. Think, well, not to be esteemed, that doesn't really matter much to me at this stage in my life. But not to be secure, and then not to be in control. What's your first reaction? Not for me. Please. How can I pray that prayer? Do you see what it is? It's just a way of dealing with our basic problem, which is, tell me, independence. That's right. And you see, this independence can be so cleverly cloaked with religiosity that it sounds respectable. A lot of people use their religion to avoid depending on God. God has two ways to deal with it, as I've said. He'll keep us waiting. Can you say, praise the Lord? It was a rather weak praise the Lord. And he will bring us to a place of absolute desperation, where if God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. I can't make it happen. I've tried everything. It didn't work. I have no answer. God, I turn to you. And I just am willing to let you do it your way. Whatever you want is all right by me. And that's the answer.
Isn't it wonderful that God tells us what the goal is, tells us where the bar is set, and then says, cry out to me for help. Cry out to me and I'll answer you. You know, I don't mind him setting the bar high. I don't mind him calling me to a high thing. I just want to know that he's there when I scream out in my awareness that I can't make it on my own. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
When does a total surrender ensure a powerful victory? In his classic teaching, Grace of Yielding, Derek Prince explains from the scriptures why God will abundantly bless you when you are willing to yield completely to him. As you listen to this special audio CD, you'll discover how to please God in all you do, strengthen and mature your faith, and receive your inheritance as a child of God. As our way of saying thank you for listening to Derek Prince Legacy Radio, we want you to have a copy of Derek's inspiring audio CD, free and postage paid. To request your copy, call us toll free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the grace of yielding. Request your free copy now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of Grace of Yielding securely online at DerekPrince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and glad you're with me today. This teaching is really impacting me. And get ready now, because Derek is about to talk to us very practically. He's going to talk about people who have been independent but are willing to make a change, people who are in a place of desperation. Listen carefully as he brings this powerful teaching home to a practical application in our lives.
Many, many years ago, about 1962, I was teaching in various churches in Canada. And the Lord said, I don't want you just to teach abstract truth. I want you to give my people a way to apply the truth that you teach. So I tried to change. And basically, one way or another, I tried to make it possible for people to make some active response to what I'm teaching. And I'm going to try and do that now. So I'm going to talk to two kinds of people. Number one, those of you that really are afraid of losing your independence. You may not have much, life may be a struggle, but at least you make your own decisions. They may be wrong decisions, but they're your decisions. Are you really prepared to let God into the decision-making process? Are you willing to put your hand right up and say, I surrender. I lay down my independence. I don't know what you're going to ask of me, but I'm prepared to accept it in faith. I trust you. Then the other kind of people, and you may be one and the same, are people who've reached a point of desperation. You're here this morning and you have no answers. You're facing a situation, you just cannot handle it. There seems to be no way whatever that you can resolve it. What about letting God in? What about giving him a chance? What does he ask of you? He asks of you what he asked of the Israelites at the Red Sea. Cry out. Call upon him. Say, help! Sometimes we're too respectable to pray a cry of desperation. But you read the Psalms, they're full of cries of desperation. No one uttered them more often than David, that great warrior, that man of God. Time and time again, he said, in effect, God, if you don't help me, I'm finished. I have no other help. Lord, come to my help. Suppose you were drowning. How respectable would you be that somebody on the bank who might be able to get to you in time? Are you going to formulate a carefully worded prayer? Are you going to speak in a polite whisper? Are you going to say, help! I need it now. Some of you need that. Some of you are here not by accident, but because God wants to help you. But he's waiting for you to cry out. And you might as well do it now. Don't wait any longer. So I want two kinds of people, if you want. You don't have to. Those of you who say, well, Brother Prince, I've really never laid down my independence. I've been religious. I've tried to do good. But I've always been in control of my own life. I've never let Jesus come in and make the decision. And then there are those, you're here this morning and you're desperate, and you know you're desperate. I want to offer help to both of you. Now I'm going to pray for all of you and then I want you to make a move. Don't sit there and wish you could do something, do it. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're so available this morning. You're so close to us. You really want to help us. You are trustworthy. We can trust you. Lord, I pray for those who need your help, those who need to lay down their independence, and those who need to cry out to you in a desperate situation, that you will release them to come to you in faith this morning. Let everything that would hinder them be bound. Every alien force, all pride, all fear, let them be bound. And let the people that you want to come be released right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Great to hear Derek pray for us. You know, we can't pray too much. And I would like to just pray a practical prayer for those of you who really want to see this worked into your soul the way that I do this day as I listen to this teaching. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we recognize the pride, the sin, perhaps even the wounding that causes us to be unrighteously independent, that causes us to lean to our own strengths, our own abilities, and not rely on you, not rely on God. Father, we don't want to bring on ourselves suffering, and more importantly, we want that relationship with you. Forgive us. Heal us, set us free, and give us the right kind of independence and the right kind of dependence on you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So glad you're with us here today. There's going to be great teaching, also some wonderful discussion on the back end of the teaching tomorrow as we continue to study this important area of why bad things happen to God's people. But that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's book, Faith to Live By, available for only $8.95. To order, simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to request your free audio CD copy of Grace of Yielding, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can find both of these resources online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.